The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back, folks, to Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, and your mind on the left-hand side of the screen here on our YouTube channel, Tony Curry Radio. Of course, you can hear the show 5 days a week on TKR. Thanks to 100,000 folks who've downloaded that app in the last 4 or 5 years. Listen to the show first, right? Of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast, we're available on every major industry watcher right here on our YouTube channel, which is where the majority of people do because they want to see two handsome guys talking business. He is Michael Coleman, Heart of Alabama Food Bank. He joins us, of course, every single week. And then right after this, we'll have a show called Bite by Bite, which is specific to Feeding America and HAFB. Hashtag that. And you'll find out all the details on Heart of Alabama Food Bank. Michael, I'm Tony Curry. How you doing, brother? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thankful we got to break bread earlier this week.
Yeah, and, I was thinking about that. And I kind of wanted to start there. You and I have been friends for, you know, it's funny because I made a hire. I knew you before you were actually in partnership with us here on Tony Curry Radio. And then I hired a young lady named Barbara, and she was my salesperson. And she introduced me to you. And next thing you know, it's just amazing how God places people in your life, because without Barbara, I doubt we'd be in the situation we're in as we're pals. Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, there's just a few people, and I'm not meaning to blow smoke, but there's a few people in my life that you get done talking with that person, you feel smarter and you just feel happier. You just, it's like things, you're looking at the world from 30,000 feet. It's going to be okay. And you're one of those guys for me. So you're very therapeutic for me.
That.
And the fact that we get to eat breakfast. And by the way, if you're ever looking for a place to eat breakfast, go to the ranch, man. That's great. Cause I didn't have my glasses for two people to have breakfast for $30. That's a bargain, man. I was like, I'm used to having my three kids and it's $1.50 every time I go out and have breakfast or even Waffle House. They're charging 50 cents more for an egg now. It's getting a little expensive. So, so big hottie ho to the ranch house there. Welcome Columbiana Road. They do fantastic work too. But yeah, I really enjoyed that. I wanted you to start right there. I'm not trying to pat each other on the back, but maybe I am. How important is it? I mean, we went through COVID. We're working from home. I know now that Donald Trump has sent everyone back to work. Elon Musk has sent everyone back to work. Nobody's allowed to work from home anymore. I don't care if you're more productive at home or not. You're going back into the office. I'm sure a lot of real estate people are loving that because we've had a bunch of empty office buildings the last 4 or 5 years. But yeah, just the importance of shaking that hand, getting that hug, and building that relationship, a friendship between two people who work together, just how important is it?
Well, for me, it's essential. And I'm speaking just from a personal perspective that I'm an extrovert. I need to be in contact with people. Now I'm okay. Everybody needs some time to themselves, whether you're extroverted or introverted. So yeah, I'm fine when I can go home at the end of the day, I can download all that, spend time, you know, by myself. But day in and day out, I really get something. It really to interact with people because I want to be involved in people's lives and I want them involved in my life. And just you and I sitting down and eating breakfast together and talking about the stuff in my life. You're talking about the stuff in your life. We're talking business, but we're talking friendship, family, all those kind of things. Boy, it's just like you said, you leave there like, hey, here's somebody in my life that I'm pouring into. They're pouring into me. There's just such a value to that. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that traditional introverts thrive in, hey, just give me my work. I do A, B, C, D, E. I do the spreadsheets. I do whatever, and I can do that from home. I just don't think it's incredibly difficult to do to create a business culture that's healthy outside of actually being together. When everybody's mm-hmm. scattered out, yes, I know you can pull it off. I know you can have Zoom meetings, and everybody's used to that now. And that was a big adjustment during COVID. But just the day in and day out, I think it's really vital to not only communicate your culture, but to get to see it implemented. Think about the day-to-day small things. So just this very morning, I've been in meetings where you get an employee, you know, gets a coaching statement. Well, you have a supervisor who may be first time supervising. So it's not just them trying to learn how to coach. So, you know, we're looking at the write up and boy, the supervisor's got some growing to do. The employee's got some growing to do. You're trying to say, how does that fit inside of what our expectations are? And all of that is can be dealt with because we're there together and we can see each other and see other examples of how the organization should be and how we should interact with each other in a professional, but a caring environment. When you're all scattered out, I mean, when I was blown away when I heard the stat that only 6% of the federal government is working from home. I mean, is working in the office, and I'm sitting there saying,
"Isn't that crazy?"
Yeah. Well, and my whole point was all these institutions are in Washington, D.C. I mean, the vast majority of people who live in Washington, D.C. are connected to the government payroll because you have to go there because that's where all the institutions are. And one of the things that Congress and President Trump have talked about is spreading these institutions around the United States. I really think that's a great idea because when you get everybody in there together and all the cabinet positions and hundreds of thousands, then, the downside of this, and it may sound like, well, here's the other side of the coin. The downside is you can, if it's a unhealthy culture and, people are all right there together. And like I said, people just got away from COVID and then they just kind of drew this line like, well, I'm not coming back to the office. You can't make me. I don't know how in the hell you know whether somebody's working or what their productivity rate is.
Yeah,
or anything
I know
else.
You used to have to check in and you had bosses checking on their computer. I mean, come on. I mean, it's almost like, I hate to say this, but it's like our schools when we started trying to do virtual schools. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Guess is there's thousands of people that are working somewhere else. That just don't even show up every day. They're still on the payroll.
They're ghost jobs. Yeah. And I think that's why the timing of what Donald Trump's doing right now is very interesting. And I think it's probably a good time to do that. A judge did just about 12 or 13 hours pause his plan to cut any more government jobs as well as buyouts. In other words, a situation where he was going to buy out everyone, pay them all the way through September. And it was, they weren't going to have to work another day. They didn't have to go into the office, which sounds really, really good to get paid for the next 6 or 7 months and not have to work. But then, of course, you don't have a job. And we're talking thousands and thousands of government jobs. It's only going to be a matter of time to see how that affects our everyday life. Because, we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater a little bit here. And it's kind of scary. I don't know what these jobs are. I don't work for the government, so I'm not sure. But I do know that a lot of people have made a living out of working for the government and the benefits that come along with that. And so I kind of wanted to get into today and broaden it out just a little bit. Was the best way to deal with the loss of a job. Right now, the unemployment rate, I think it slipped to 4%. We added 143,000 jobs. I'd be really interested to see how that number changes in the next time we do this because of all these government jobs being lost. Will we see an uptick? And because of that, I think the Fed's probably going to keep the interest rates where it's at, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But I mean, I went through it when I was 51, 52. I'd never been fired. And here I am, my 50s. I've got a family. I got a wife. And all of a sudden, I've lost my job. I totally felt like I got screwed over. I got a 2-month severance, which was a joke. I'd worked there for 35 years. I couldn't believe it, but I really didn't have a leg to stand on. And they knew that they had me because it was going to be expensive to fight anything else. And of course, that came with the non-disclosure, and it came with a non-compete, which is not enforceable, but it is. And just all these other things. And basically I was stuck. And so I kind of want you to, and you can even go back to, if you want to recite some biblical scripture for this, because there's a lot of things in the Bible that talk about this thing. Any problem you have, go to the Bible. There's an answer in there. Just Google it. You will find an answer to your problems in the Bible, believe it or not. It's in there. But it is for a lot of people that's all they've known. Their entire life. For me, radio is all I've known. I told my ex, and notice now she's my ex. She left after I lost my job. The timing was just wonderful. But the radio is what I've done my entire life. I'm not saying I couldn't work at McDonald's. I'm not saying I couldn't drive a truck. There's a lot of medial jobs, other jobs I could do, but I didn't get a degree. I've got 2 years that I still need to get for a marketing job. And so I decided to go ahead and further my career in a different pattern. Thank goodness it worked out for me with the podcast thing and like having wonderful people like you on. But I'd also not worked a 9-to-5 job ever. I've never worked a 9-to-5 job. I never had to. I never have done that. I've never had to sit in traffic. But like, what do you think about traffic? I've never sat in a traffic jam. I've never had to do it because I'm driving at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm driving home at 11. So I've been super blessed that way. And I thank the Lord every single day because I've got some special needs, son, that I need to spend time with. And it's just worked out beautifully for me. But for government workers who have spent their entire life, you got some people that have worked 10, 15, 20 years, and all of a sudden they're looking for a job. Just start right there. I know I've thrown a lot on your plate, but this is bigger than just the government jobs, but just losing a job. I know a lot of it has to do with your age. I mean, obviously if you're in your mid 40s or 50s, my gosh, do you start all over again? Do you go back to school? Yeah. I mean, there's so many different ways you can go here, but I know you've thought about it, but your initial thoughts, first of all, on what Donald Trump's doing. I know he's doing more than drain the swamp. Now he's cleaning house right now.
So I'll start there. So if you think about only 6% of, now that doesn't mean only 6% of the people are working. I know a lot of people are doing whatever they're doing. But think about as government grows and everybody's trying to have relevance. And one of the things that's a huge criticism is the amount of administrative rules and power that's given. Like I said, it's not a law that's created. You might have the EPA and then all of a sudden they say they come up with an administrative rule and a fine and can fine you if you don't, do that. But it's not a law. It's just a rule that's been passed. Well, the bigger an agency gets, the more people you've got in there creating rules and creating. So it really, that's why government by its nature becomes so inefficient, because it doesn't have a bottom line of customer service. Like a business is out there, a for-profit business. If they don't have good customer service, then they're just not going to get the supply of money. They're not going to get customers anymore. So they have to stay streamlined. They have to be efficient. They have to be effective. They can't waste money on all things. And that's the problem with government. People don't care if you turn the lights on, you run it, keep it ice cold in the summer and toasty warm in the winter. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things don't matter because they're not having to foot the bill. It's all in the big taxpayer kind of thing. So lots of times if I've seen people who work government jobs, know there's incredible civic leaders. I'm not painting with a broad brush, but you have a ton of mediocrity as well. People who get a job, they get settled in. They're not super motivated to move anything because they know they're part of this huge engine and they're just one cog in this whole process. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I think will happen is when you do get rid of a lot of stuff, then lots of times you have to streamline your process. So let's say you had 100 people at this layer and they each have some sort of function, and then you keep stacking layers and adding more. Well, when you shrink that down, you don't have as many people handling those. So lots of times it forces you. Now, I'm not saying every institution will do this, but the idea is, okay, let's look at streamlining. What are we doing that's not absolutely essential? Now, I do this nonstop. I've always done this, which is, we are in a constant state of flux, because anytime I see a process that becomes inefficient or that we can streamline it, we're going to do it. And so if you can't explain to me why we're taking this extra step, if it's not for the benefit of our customers, if it's not because of safety or something, mm-hmm. if you can't explain it, then we're going to streamline it. And of course, so I think every once in a while, this is almost like a spring cleaning for the government, where they're looking at their policies. Right now, every department head is going to have to justify the money that they're spending. And you even think every department is always built for a raise. I think I've said this before, but I remember years ago, they were talking about people wanting to starve kids I think Democrats were saying Republicans want to starve kids. And I think it was like a 10% increase. And the Republicans said, no, we don't want to increase the school lunch program by 10%. We're going to do it by 5%. Mm-hmm. These aren't exact numbers. I'm just using this as an example. Well, the Democrats came back and said Republicans are trying to cut school spending by 5%. Well, it was the increase they were cutting back by 5%. So government continues to grow just because that's just built into it. And I think going back and saying you have to justify where you have this. And I think when a lot of people are removed from these because they resign, I think right now the last number I heard was 60,000. Mm-hmm. It'll be more by Monday. 60,000 people have resigned. Then you're going to say, okay, now here's the workforce we have. Here are the processes that we have. How do we streamline this to make it a more efficient government? And I think the average person is not going to see delays like you and I who don't rely on the government on an everyday basis. We're not going to see a lot of the administrative, but I think a lot of administrative red tape will be eliminated. That's my hope anyway, if it's unnecessary, because they're not going to have a choice. You're not going to have the people, especially if he keeps hiring freeze on. Now, having said that, how does it affect the individual? Well, one of the things I think is critical, and this is, doesn't matter if it's government, it doesn't matter if it's a for-profit, nonprofit, or whatever. There's all sorts of change in the world. And I was just thinking through this. I mean, sometimes you get a new boss. Sometimes you get a coworker that you're not jiving with. Sometimes you get a new position with a new list of responsibilities thrown on you. And sometimes it's like the amount of technology. I had a lady who resigned as a secretary, and she was much older, 70 years old. But we were coming in with a new CRM software, and she's like, I'm retiring. I can't learn any more, you know, new technology. So, but I think what my fear is that a lot of people who are either going to get, because if you don't take this, there's going to be a lot of, if you don't take this settlement, there's going to be a lot of people who get laid off because they're going to cut back government regardless. At least that's what they say. Now, whether that's right or whether that's wrong, that's a separate argument. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to get pink slipped out of the government. And I think what they have to do is, I get it, there's going to be some emotional distress. There's going to be some, why is this happening to me? You know, I do a good job, whatever. But I think lots of times when we get concerned, when we start thinking about losing our job or transitioning, we need to be honest about what that fear, like, I have these concerns, but I'm gonna blame it on somebody else. You know, I've seen this all the time where somebody gets terminated and they've been coached, they've been written up, and then they finally get fired and they walk out with their ass on their shoulders because, you know, they've been done wrong. And I'm like, somebody like that is never going to progress in life because they don't have the ability to be honest with what the problems are.
Yep.
So even if you're pink slipped, you may be a great employee, but even if you're pink slipped, you need to go through that and kind of do an inventory of, number one, you know, why has this happened? What have I done to contribute to the downside of this? How do I understand and have an honest assessment of what my weaknesses are? Because I'm going to have to transition into another job. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I already want to know, you know, how do I present the best me? How do I not take these bad habits from maybe I've been hanging out for 2 years since COVID? You know, maybe I've developed some bad habits. Maybe I have unrealistic expectations. You know, maybe I've got a little bit of a diva in me. Maybe I've got, I mean, you need to take inventory of yourself, of your emotions, and really do your best, even though it's going to sting, is start looking at this as a positive opportunity for you to improve, for you to get potentially a better position, but to step into a new thing in life with new responsibilities, new friends, new opportunities. It can be overwhelming, but it can be ultimately very positive.
Now, I think I'm glad you started there. And I think that's really, really important. Something tells me that the people that went in and were working hard and were doing their 40 hours a week and weren't cutting corners, those people are going to be okay. You lost your job, but you're going to find another job. And this may be a blessing in disguise. You may find something. I can promise you, that at least one person will come out of this smelling a lot better than they did before.
Oh, no doubt.
And the people that are bitching and moaning about, you know, this is why I was going to retire, I had five more years, but those are the ones that are showing up and taking a nap at work. You know, they really are. So we're going to find out. This is really interesting. We're going to find out, you know, what these people are made of. And it's unfortunate. I don't like to see anybody lose their job. I think it's terrible because I know how it affects people. But I do.
Well,
think-
let me jump in here because this is something we opened up talking about My Year Fellowship. One of the things that really gets stressed during this time is your mental health. I mean, it gets taxed heavily. And because just the fact that somebody gives you a pink slip, and like I said, you're like, hey, I'm a good employee. I show up here every day. So it may be absolutely nothing to do with you. It's just your department is shutting down and it is what it is. During this transition, the worst thing you can do, I believe, is to kind of go into hiding, to kind of retreat back into your lair.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we do that, then this, lots of times we have this negative self-talk. I'm angry about being let go. Why am I being put through this? People turn, you don't have people speaking positivity, or people are not speaking truth into your life. Sometimes truth can be painful. You know, I have people who speak truth, and that's about me or what they're seeing in me, characteristics they're seeing in me. That's not always positive. It doesn't always feel good, but it's healthy for me to be awakened to some of the challenges in my life. So we need people to share this burden with. And so if you don't have this, if you think this is a possibility, you need to really be identifying people you would turn to. It could be somebody within your church group.
Mm-hmm.
It could be somebody you went to school with. It could be somebody in your civic club. But I'm telling you, you need four or five guys. And when I say guys, or, you know, people in your life, men or women, to be able to turn to when you have any sort of upheaval in life. We all go through it. There's always some sort of change in our life. We lose our parents. Whatever it is, somebody that you can sit down and have an honest conversation and can help you mentally get through that transition.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming there's all types of different government jobs, everything from rubber stampers to people that are working out in the landscaping, I guess, the White House. I don't know. What would you say? I know originally, and again, I've only lost my job once. I don't know how many times in radio. They always said, if you hadn't been fired three times, you ain't really in radio. I guess I got two more times to go. I'd have to fire myself to make it the second time around. But there is a thought to where I want to stop and assess my situation and just, you know, and I know some people want to dive right back in, can't afford to take a day off. I get that. Hopefully they've got a little money saved so they can actually think about what they want to do next, because it is a really big decision. Assuming that you must work, maybe you're the breadwinner in the family, and you just got to find your thing. What would be the best way to find out what you're really good at? And outside talking with these four or five different individuals, and I know there's a character, is a charisma. What is it? What I forget what the test is, where you do the questions and testing to find out what you're really good at.
And there's lots of, I mean, that's the first place I would turn. Now, I actually had a, let me state this first. I would go online and I would kind of understand what your personality type is, understand what your particular, and this is where it's real important to be honest with yourself. What is your work ethic? Are you looking for a desk job? Are you looking for a 9-to-5 to check out where you don't not supervise? And you can go in there and it can evaluate you and then give you jobs that are closely linked to your personality. And that's a great place to start. I would also, if you think, hey, this isn't coming, but I could see this happening in a year, I tell you what, I would be dusting off the resume right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be looking at what can I do to show that I've continued to improve my skill set or my learning, whether it's a certificate. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff out there on the internet. It could just be about Microsoft Office certification, you know, improve your Excel and your Word, all those kind of things. Because it's very important, especially the older we get, that you want to be able to, if you're in a government job and let's say you got in it at, you know, late 20s and you worked in it for, like you said, 15 to 20 years and you're ready to transition, well, you're coming in late 40s, early 50s. Mm-hmm. And an employer's going to say, well, okay, what are you bringing? And you're like, well, I learned so-and-so 20 years ago, I got certified in this and I've just done that for 20 years. The way the world changes, the way, you know, you're going to have to show that you can handle technology. And that's almost with any job, because no matter what it is, even a job that requires physical demands, lots of times uses technology. A great example is right here in our warehouse. Our entry level is a warehouse worker. Mm-hmm. Well, they use lasers and to move inventory around. So you have to know how to program. You have to know what you're looking at on the technology, on the barcode readers, what I'm trying to come up with. Yeah. And so even something where we don't require, you know, you don't have to be great on a computer, but you have to be able, you can't be so intimidated by something like that, that you can't just learn basic things. And there's a lot of people like, oh, I don't want to do that, but it's hard to find somewhere now that's not going to involve anything with a desk job is going to involve technology.
Sure.
Just Microsoft and 365, that kind of stuff. But specifically in other areas. So you might need to bone up on some things. You might need to read some latest articles. Just really, you got to stay fresh, and particularly something that you can show on a resume that you are not somebody who stagnated over time, but you have a learning mindset, a willingness to learn, a desire to learn. Those kind of things are attractive, and you're really going to need that the older you are as you come into the workforce to show, hey, I'm not coming here with I've got it all figured out. I'm coming here with, hey, I'm starting a new thing in my life. I'm excited about it. I want to learn. I want to grow. Teach me. I'm a sponge.
Yeah.
So
and hopefully that all starts with what we talked about to start the show, and that is, you know, having those relationships with a lot of people you do work with. People will remember that. You know, you got to be kind of careful on who you lean on at this point. Hey, listen, I heard you lost your job. You know, do you have anything in your warehouse? Depending on what you're good at, depending on what kind of job you want to do. I mean, I'm not saying you're going from a $200,000 job to all of a sudden wanting to drive a truck. You may have to do that, but hopefully not. But the other thing too, and I'm going to mention this while we're running to the top. Something I learned a lot through my firing. I was already looking at the finish line. I had 15 years to go. I had my 401k set up. It was all, I was good to go. I just needed to show up to work and go. And I knew in the back of my mind that for me to work and be doing the same exact job at the age of 65 or 70 really wasn't going to happen. I had partners that I was working with. There were two different things that were going to happen. The business was evolving. The technology was changing. And I really wish at that point in time I had reached out and kept in touch with a lot of the people that I had done work for. I mean, thank goodness I worked with Alan Jay, and these people, these guys knew everybody. I mean, everyone from the mayor to Gene Hallman to all these important sports foundation people. And I had all their phone numbers, I had all these things, you know. And I look back on these things and I wish I had done a better job at keeping in touch with those people, because I probably would have been able to find something a little quicker. But then, you know, God bless me. And so I'm certainly not, it all worked out for a reason. But I do think you constantly have to think to yourself in this day and time, if I didn't have the job I have today, what would I be doing tomorrow? And I think it's always good to look outside the box too, because there's new opportunities that are always coming your way. And I know, I'm not talking about working 30 years in one place and all of a sudden deciding, you know what, I'm going to stop doing this and do mission work or whatever. Maybe that is what you're doing, dude. But always think about, don't ever get complacent, I guess. Don't get lazy. Don't get complacent in the job you got, unless you own the place and you're your own boss and you know for a fact that you're not going to get fired and you can pay yourself out. But you never know what's going to change, because it is fluid and it'll change. So great stuff, my friend. Right after the show, we do Bite by Bite. It is implicit and specific on hashtag HAFB, Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We'll get into that next. But thank you so much, and we'll catch up next week.
Enjoyed it.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.